Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Washington Commanders. You can hear every game here on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. And the Commanders will travel to Minnesota, take on the Vikings this weekend. And there was a report from Adam Schefter on Sunday morning about Jaden Daniels, and I don't expect him to play against the Vikings. I mean, I talked about this last week. Trending towards practicing limited last week. Yes, that happened. Trending towards practicing full this week. I expect that to happen Wednesday or Thursday. Travels to Minnesota, doesn't play in the game, then plays against the Giants, Eagles, and Cowboys on Christmas, and that's the end of his season. I would not play him in that meaningless Week 18 game in Philadelphia. I don't want him to end the season injured. I don't see really any reason to play him in that one. Those three games are important in terms of quick turnaround. December 14th, Giants. Quick turnaround to the Eagles. 5 days later, Christmas against the Cowboys. And the divisional games, although they aren't important for this season, I think they're crucial for Jaden to get a win under his belt against the Cowboys, to look good and perform well against his divisional opponents, and those are going to be the games that you count on winning next season. Time for the Commander's Corner here on AWOD Radio as we look at the most popular Commander's comments online, and there are still people buzzing about the catch made by Treylon Burks. It was an insane catch. It's going to be a catch of the year nominee. It was probably the best Sunday night football catch of the season. Odell Beckham gave him a shout out, making 13 plays. I mean, it was like one of those are you kidding me moments. My perspective watching it was, no, they're not going to throw a fade route. Oh my God, I can't believe he caught that. And it was Odell Beckham light. It was a one-handed thing of beauty. It's the most talked about thing online for Commanders fans right now. And I think you take the question a step further and you ask, well, how much is Treylon Burks part of this team's future now moving forward? I think he has to be part of your future plans. He is a guy that Dan Quinn talked about that has been aggressive in the locker room, telling the coaches how much he wants this opportunity and how much he's going to make the most of it. I thought because it was in a losing effort, but we didn't talk about it enough. Like, what was the deal, Jeremy? Did you hear about this? He, like, broke his finger right before the Dolphins game, played through it, then had surgery, and then played and caught that pass with one finger taped to the other finger because he had just had the surgery.
Yeah, I'd only seen that from the tweet that Ian Rappaport had put out after the fact. So yeah. they put that under wraps. I'm a big Treylon Burks fan. I think he has a lot of potential. I loved him coming out of Arkansas.
Yeah, what do you think happened his first few years in Tennessee? Was it simply he was being compared to A.J. Brown?
I think it was a little bit of that. I think it was a lot of injuries. He caught that was his second career touchdown. His first career touchdown he caught, immediately got concussed on that play, and then was never able to stay on the field. he is a really talented receiver. Like I said, he's got that size. You saw he's got the hands. He just made that catch on Sunday Night Football. He was getting targeted a lot by Marcus Mariota. He was getting open. I think there's a lot to like if you can tap into that potential that he had coming out of college.
Yeah, I mean, we say this every year in the NFL. You know, one team's trash is another team's treasure. The Rams felt like they had a treasure in Emmanuel Forbes. Cost them the game against the Panthers. But it feels like now Washington thinks they got an undercover treasure in Treylon Burks, who was drafted by Tennessee, a first-round pick in 2022, where he appeared in 11 games, made just 33 receptions for 444 yards and that one touchdown. And then since then, just struggled to stay on the field and struggled to receive a good amount of targets. And I think that's the other thing is, I don't think he's a separation guy. I think he's more of a big catch guy. From what we've seen from here already in Washington in just a three-game sample size, is five catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. And I think of those five catches, three of them have been contested. Like, he is a contested catch guy, kind of similar to Terry McLaurin. And here's the other thing why he has to be in our future plans moving forward. Is it was almost like God heard our calling. This was the most desperate team in the NFL for outside receiver help. Deebo Samuel, slot guy. Jalen Lane, slot guy. Luke McCaffrey, slot guy. I mean, the list goes on of all these slot guys here in Washington, and we just didn't have an outside receiver because Noah Brown was injured and Terry McLaurin is injured. And falling into our laps was Treylon Burks. And I just love hearing the coaching staff talk about him because you don't really know what type of person he is, but you hear about his work ethic, and that gets me excited. And I just love taking a shot on a first-round pick that didn't work out somewhere else. And we did that last year with Cleveland Farrell, who was a Richmond kid. Didn't work out, but I love those kind of swings. I love this. And you know what? I'm going to say this right now. All the people trashing Adam Peters for not finding a kicker or for the way he revamped this wide receiver group or that he didn't go out and get another tight end, you have to give him credit for Treylon Burks. Your general manager deserves credit for that. And I think it's kind of quieted the crowd that was all in on Brandon Ayuk coming to Washington. So that's the good. The bad is Ben Sennett. I really like the kid. I had an awesome interview with him at training camp. I'll tell you, my reaction was, I thought he kind of sounded like he had a softer voice. I don't know why, but to me that meant something. Dude's like 6'6", right? 300 pounds. I expected him to be like, hey, A-Boy, what do you think? Instead, he wasn't like that. And kind of feel like we've seen that from him. Like, we haven't seen that push of strength from Ben Sennett that the point where in college he was called Baby Gronk. Like, we need this kid to step up, and he hasn't. And it told me all I needed to see when Colson Yankoff was targeted and made a catch for 14 yards on a play that I'm telling you in the past this season it had been designed for Ben Sennett. And I also know the coaching staff was pissed off at the block he made on the corner. Who's the corner on the Broncos? That was Javonte Williams or something like that. It was like one of those guys. He was making plays all game long. There was a screen to Deebo in which Sennett, your tight end, is blocking a corner. You have to hit that block 10 out of 10 in the National Football League. A tight end cannot miss a corner, and he did, and it cost us a play. And then I think after that, they kind of decided to cut his playing time and cut his snaps for guys they could trust. And I saw this on social media here as we're doing Commander's comments, and I kind of agree. At best, Ben Sennett turns into John Bates now. But you didn't draft him to be John Bates. You drafted him to be the heir apparent to Zach Ertz. And that hasn't happened. And I also don't think that Zach Ertz's 10 catches for whatever yards did not quiet AWOD's talk about letting him go in the offseason. Let him go back to Philly and retire. You know, here's my thing about Zach Ertz. I really respect him a lot. I think he probably would be a Hall of Famer, right? And I think his family is awesome. If you're a soccer fan, you remember Julie Ertz, her time representing the U.S. Women's National Team. I think their family is awesome. I think he's a super athlete. I think he's brilliant. Like, you have to be smart to go to Stanford. I just think watching the NFL this season, he is not in the top 20 of tight ends. And in almost every game we've played, The other team's tight end has been better. And I didn't think Evan Engram was that good. But you sold the speed difference of Evan Engram versus Zach Ertz, right? And you could go back to almost every game we played this season. The tight ends around the league are just better than Zach Ertz now. It's like, you know, last year was an incredible year for Zach Ertz. This year, they've had a lot more drops and a lot less of the big plays and the big moments. Like, guys like Dalton Schultz and Aronde Gadsden are having much better seasons than Zach Ertz. I think that there's going to be a tight end out there that becomes a free agent that Washington will go after that will end up being an upgrade over Zach Ertz, or at least a guy with more potential. Or maybe you just put both of them out there because you're getting nothing from Ben Sennett. I like what you're getting from Bates, but I think this is the ceiling of John Bates. We need more pass-catching tight end. Not even pass-catching. We need more guys that can get yak after the catch at tight end. You see how Brock Bowers is a huge difference maker. You see how Tucker Kraft is a huge difference maker. Dalton Kincaid with the Bills. Like, these tight ends out there, Colson Loveland now with Chicago, Dallas Goedert even, who replaced Zach Ertz. They're so much better in the yards after catch category. And that's huge in the NFL. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. We are rocking and rolling here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. The theme of the show today is play.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Playoffs from the NFL to the college football playoffs. A win and the Hoos are in. Who's talking UVA football every week? AWOD is. I have been locked in this season. Had the most fun Friday night of the year when I saw UVA beat Florida State from Scott Stadium. They got a much needed victory in the Commonwealth Cup against Virginia Tech. And their next opponent, a team they already beat in Duke from the ACC title game in Charlotte. Joining us right now on the Dean Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline from the Augusta Free Press, it's Chris Graham. What's up, Chris?
Adam, thanks for having me on, man.
Can you believe we're talking playoffs and UVA football?
Yeah, I didn't think it would ever happen, much less this quick. But yeah, here we are. I mean, 10-2 and one game away. So you know, I thought before this season this team might win 8 games, and I thought that they had the talent to do so, but I can't say I saw 10 wins.
Now, we don't want to, you know, count our chickens before they hatch, but we were arguing earlier today with Michael Phillips. Is there a team ahead of UVA right now in the college football playoff rankings that you think they could beat? I feel pretty confident against 2 teams.
Oh, you know, without even being specific, I think that because of their defense – they can beat a lot of teams. I really think that in this year's college football landscape, it feels like to me there's one team that nobody can beat, and that's Ohio State. You know, they're just head and shoulders above everybody else this year. I don't know that I feel that, you know that there's not a team out there that Virginia wouldn't have a puncher's chance against just because of the way they're playing defense, and they have been since, you know, the last part of September. So, you know, I think they can go on the road in the first round if they're matched up with an Ole Miss or a Texas Tech or a Texas A&M. They could get a win. I don't know about winning the whole thing, certainly, but they can go out there and get a win against, you know, one of those 5, 6, 7, or 8 seeds, depending on where they are.
Yeah, especially like a Texas Tech. Would you still take the ACC over the Big 12 conference as a whole?
You know, this year, we got Duke in the title game because of the weird tiebreaker, but we've got a lot of good teams. No great team, but we've got a lot of really good teams, and that's probably the situation out there in the Big 12. It's just, you know, that, you know, their top couple of teams were able to, you know, maybe they didn't have the depth that the ACC has, but their top couple of teams are pretty good. But yeah, the ACC's got depth. I mean, we had 5 teams tied for second place, so there's a lot of good football being played. I'm not necessarily great football, but yeah, I'd take the ACC.
So let's go back to the UVA win from a few weeks ago when they beat Duke, right? Beat Duke, beat down Duke in Duke, then had the week off, regrouped, and took down Virginia Tech at home. What did you notice from that game that you think Duke will maybe try to counter, or some things that UVA will try to do successfully again?
Yeah, Duke's got to regame plan everything, I would say. Virginia outgained Duke 540 to 265. A lot of that 265 was garbage stuff in the second half when Virginia was up big. You know, Darius Mensa, the quarterback who had a great year against everybody else, when that game was, so to speak, on the line, 5 of 11 for just 26 yards in the first half. He got sacked 4 times. They only ran for 43 yards in that game. So, you know, it's almost like I don't know what Virginia is going to be able to game plan and say that, you know, Duke's trends are going to lead in this direction, because Duke's going to have to scrap everything and start over as far as Virginia, them game planning for Virginia is concerned. You know, Mensa is not the most mobile quarterback, and what Virginia did well was they kept him in the pocket. Those sacks were largely, coverage sacks.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Virginia's got a great secondary. They've got a very deep defensive line. They can get pressure on the quarterback. When they took the run away from Duke, that made them one-dimensional, and that one dimension wasn't very good. So, yeah, I don't know. Virginia can game plan and say we know their tendencies, but Duke's going to have to start from scratch as far as their game plan is concerned.
Yeah, should be a good coaching battle as well. I think it's going to come down to UVA's defense that has been just really underrated all season long and has stepped up in the big moments, like the safety against Washington State, the overtime against Florida State there. That's the thing. Can you hold back Darian Mensa twice? He's been one of the best quarterbacks in the ACC this season, and you kind of had your best game against him already.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he got sacked on the first play from scrimmage in that one, and you know, that really set the tone for that game. And as I mentioned, I mean, he ended up with 213 passing yards in that game, but that was mostly, it's not entirely garbage time stuff in the second half when the game was way out of reach. But yeah, it's hard to say that the $7 million quarterback, you can hold him down twice as easily as they did. So, you know, Virginia did move the ball pretty well in that game. They ended up with 34 points, but I think that they left some points on the field in that one with their 540 yards of offense. I mean, that was, you know, the last 2 weeks, Virginia's played its best football of the season. You know, that dominating win at Duke, you know, beating a Virginia Tech team that was only finished 3-9, but beating them the way they did. Tech had played well down the stretch, even in defeat. You know, they hung around with Miami for the greater part of that game. They had a lead on Louisville for a lot of that game, and that's the Louisville before Louisville had all the rash of injuries. Played Wake well and actually beat Cal, a team that gave Virginia some trouble. So for Virginia to beat Tech the way they did, and really the last couple of games, Virginia's playing its best football all season long, and, you know, on both sides of the ball. So, you know, if you're going to peak now. They got through that rough stretch where they had to win the games, as you mentioned, Adam, with the defense, you know, a couple of turnovers, pick sixes in the Louisville game, the safety in the Washington State game, another pick six, and the Cal game that sealed the Cal game. But I feel like the offense is playing as well as it has all season long. The defense is great. And so, I think they're ready for this one.
Chris Graham with us here from the Augusta Free Press on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. We've spent too much time of this segment talking about Mensah and not Chandler Morris, to be honest. And the Hoos are going to rely on their playmaker to make plays and win them this game. I think he's got to watch the turnovers. That could cost UVA. But I think this game may come down to Chandler Morris picking and choosing when to run. He's got a few QB keepers in him every game, and it seems like it comes at the biggest moments this season.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy that you got to watch on the read option. I think he only had four carries in the Tech game, but when he does, you know, he had a 16-yard keeper where he's deceptively fast. I mean, not just quick or whatever else you say about a quarterback. He outran the Tech defensive line and their linebackers and a safety around the edge on a 16-yard run in the third quarter on a scoring drive. Of course, he had that incredible cutback run on the touchdown on that drive. You know, a running back quality kind of guy. I think he's also, he might be as healthy as he's been. He got injured in the first week when he tried to run in a long touchdown against Coastal Carolina, got met at the goal line, injured his left shoulder. He's been playing with a bum left shoulder most of the season. There was a play in that Tech game where he kind of ducked his shoulder on a third and one, and it made you think, okay, he's not doing that with that bum shoulder. He might be feeling pretty good right now. So yeah, his ability both on design runs and scrambles, you got to keep an eye on him from, you know, maybe keep a spy on him, which takes a guy out of the passing defense game. You know, with those receivers, and of course with the running game, Jamari Taylor and Harrison Whaley, and what they've been able to do. You know, Virginia is not one-dimensional, and so but Morris, yeah, you're right, his feet are the key to that, because he makes you stay honest both on the design runs but also on the scrambles.
How big is this game for the community? I know UVA is such a basketball school, but this has got to be the biggest game in 5 years, definitely the biggest game of the Tony Elliott era.
I've been a UVA guy since I was a little kid. This is the biggest game ever. I was in the stadium as a first-year student in 1990 for number one Virginia playing Georgia Tech, a team that eventually won the national championship that year. This game is bigger than that one because it's a chance to get into the playoffs. You know, that Virginia-Georgia Tech game was like week 7 or week 8 of that season. So, this is a chance to get into a playoff in this hyper-competitive era that we're in. And, you know, a chance to play some really meaningful football. I mean, you might be going to an SEC or a Big 12 school on the road for a first-round playoff game in a couple of weeks if you win Saturday night. It's also big for the ACC. The ACC might get shut out of the playoff if Duke wins. Duke is not going to be ranked ahead of a group, either of the next two group of five champions that would be out there. And, you know, we might be able, if Virginia's able to win this game, might be able to help carry Miami across the line as an at-large, as weird as that might seem to say. So it's a big game for the ACC. It's a huge game for Virginia and the fan base. Goosebumps are already starting to gather here.
Yeah. Say that again, though. I mean, biggest game for UVA football history?
I think so, yeah. And I was in the stadium for number one versus Georgia Tech, and this is for a legitimate playoff berth. And I really think that this Virginia team can win a playoff game. I mean, if they can get past Duke, and you got to get there first, they can get past Duke. I think they can go on the road and beat one of those schools. I don't know about how far they can go from there, but, you know, it's just this is the thing. This Virginia program has been down for so long. And so to be able to play themselves into a position for a playoff, oh man, and this era is a lot tougher than the 1990s. Those teams were really talented teams. They had a lot of NFL guys on those George Walsh era teams, but the era now is so competitive. And for Virginia to come from where they were the last 3 years, the first 3 years of the Tony Elliott era, where he won 11 games combined in three seasons, to be 10-2 right now, it just shows how quickly they've been able to get things turned around.
What's going to be interesting is where UVA will be seated if they win against Duke in the ACC title game. If the committee was smart, they would give Virginia the respect and also admit that Chandler Morris was out in their most recent defeat. I mean, if they had won that game, they'd be pushing Notre Dame for the 9 spot right now with the same 10-2 record. So, I know the committee's not going to give them respect or the ACC the respect this year, but I think that the way UVA's playing, you could say they should be number 8 or number 9 in the rankings.
I'm, I'm with you there. Yeah, if they'd have beaten Wake Forest, and certainly they played most of that game without their starting quarterback. If you're 11-1 and then win this week in 12-1, yeah, that would be a very different story than what we're talking about now. I will say this, thinking about past years when I've broken down NCAA tournament, the basketball tournament fields, you always find a couple of matchups where teams are underseeded, and you say, man, that number 5 seed got the raw end of the deal, having to play that number 12 seed. That's why there's always those 12-5 upsets in the first round or something like that. I would not want to be the 6 seed having to play an 11 seed Virginia. That would not be a nice gift for me, having played all season long. If you're Ole Miss and you're 11-1, if you're Texas Tech and you're 11 or 12-1, and you've got to play now, you're giving me the ACC champion here. This is not a reward for our season either. So it's not just that it would be kind of screwing Virginia; it would be messing with the other side as well.
Yeah, great stuff, Chris. Always appreciate you taking the time.
Hey, thanks, Adam.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 10.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
5-1-FM. The theme of the show today has been playoffs. And joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline to run around local sports in Richmond, it's Lane Casadante. What's up, Lane?
Hey, good afternoon, Adam. I'm guessing the rain is finally stopping in town. I think we've had enough. But guess what? You don't have to shovel it, so we'll take it.
What is the first thing that comes to mind for you when I say playoffs right now?
Right now, it's kind of how few teams are left. I mean, you start the season with everybody, and everybody has the same record. Dwindles down, especially for Sean Robertson and I. It's, how many teams do we have left? Who are we covering this week? And once you get to this point of the season, with just a couple of exceptions, I mean, everybody is really, really good. And playing at this point of the year is a lot different than playing in week one or two back in late August and early September.
Oh, absolutely. And we're locked into the high school playoffs here on 910 The Fan. You can hear the 804 broadcast game of the week. Hokie Steve and Coach Criswell right here on 910 The Fan. College football playoffs, UVA and JMU. We'll start with JMU. Is JMU making the right decision to let Bob Chesney coach them throughout the rest of this season and into the playoffs, even though he is headed to UCLA?
I think so, and I think there's a difference between Bob Chesney. Well, there are several differences between Bob Chesney's situation and Lane Kiffin's situation between Ole Miss and LSU. Some of the guys that will play for JMU might not necessarily be the same type of players that would be, you know, targeted by UCLA. So there's not a lot of crossover there in terms of, oh, well, my coach is going there, I'm going to go with him. You know, maybe yes, maybe no. There's more of that level in the SEC. Number two, this is, you know, might be JMU's best shot at an opportunity like this. You know, who knows when something like this might come along again. And to have the guy who has brought you this far finish it out, you know, may just be the best way for you. You know, you don't know what's going to happen, but you want to have the best possible chance to take advantage of an opportunity like this. And keeping Bob Chesney and his staff together through till the end of their season is the right move if that's what you're looking for.
See, I think the situations are very similar, and that this is the best chance Ole Miss is going to have over the next 15 years, just like it's the best chance JMU is going to have. And so I think JMU is handling this right. Ole Miss is handling it wrong. I get it. The difference is maybe the rivalry of the two teams, but I think Ole Miss needs to be humbled in this situation and realize this is their best chance that they've got. For JMU, you know, Cignetti left and didn't coach the bowl game.
You know, different coaches, different situations, and different outcomes. I'm trying to remember when Cignetti left, if he was even interested in coach. Now, a bowl game is different than a playoff game. And, you know, who knows if JMU doesn't get that group of five spot in the CFP, you know, does he stick around for a bowl game? I tend to think he would, knowing I don't pretend to be the man's best friend, but I've been up there quite a bit over the last 2 years, and I think he would have an obligation, a personal obligation, to want to see this all the way through. But again, I think the biggest difference between Kiffin's situation and Chesney's is that Ole Miss had a very real threat, or, you know, they could be legitimately worried about Kiffin taking most of his staff and a lot of his players with him. And the players can go if they want anyway, because that's the way college football is set up. The Lane Kiffin situation, I think, is more of a product of a failed college football and NCAA calendar that allows schools to do this in the first place for the early signing period. But that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, I just think everybody loves to poke fun at Lane Kiffin because he's had his misfortunes in the past, and it doesn't seem like he's really that great of a human being. I just think it's kind of really similar to Chesney, and I think Ole Miss is the one that's saying, hey, we don't want him to coach, whereas JMU is saying, hey, we respect you, we thank you for your services, and we hope you have a lot of success at UCLA. They probably will lose a lot of their guys. I mean, I think you can count 7 or 8 Indiana players that started on JMU.
Yes, and I'm not saying that, you know, there wouldn't be players that would, you know, try to go there, but hey, UCLA, if you've been to LA, it's different. I mean, and that's one of the things that really surprised me about Chesney's decision to go to UCLA, because you know, it's different recruiting. He's never been a West Coast guy, and I keep looking back to when Bronco Mendenhall came from BYU. You know, Bronco, he did take UVA to the ACC title game, but by and large, that wasn't all that much of a successful tenure in Charlottesville. And I really think it was because, you know, he was used to a different style out there. He was recruiting different players. He was at a completely different institution. Academically, they might have been similar, but you really need a guy that understands the areas in which he recruits. And I know with the transfer portal and NIL, recruiting is nationally now anyway. But I just think there's something to be said for knowing the region and the footprint in which you ply your trade.
You mentioned UVA. They will play in the ACC title game against Duke, an opponent they just beat 2 weeks ago and beat them bad. We had Chris Graham from the Augusta Free Press. He said, biggest game in UVA football history.
Maybe the last 20 years, absolutely, yes. I don't know about the biggest game in football history. UVA played a lot of really big games under George Welsh. It was just the sport was structured differently back then.
Yeah. Well, the playoffs gives them an opportunity that they might have never had, you know?
Sure. Yeah, no. And that's what I see. Yeah, that you're absolutely right. The structure of the game now makes this the most important game they've had, let's say, in the BCS or the CFP era, definitely. And, you know, I always think, and I'm not saying that, you know, Duke's going to win this game, but I always think in a rematch between teams that have played recently, I think the team that lost has the advantage because they know what to fix. The team that won has all the confidence in the world, but, you know, Duke is going to know what they did wrong, and they can go fix it.
Yeah, and Mensa just had an awful game. And I guess you credit UVA. They had a sack on the first play, and they got in his face all game long. But he's consistently been one of the top quarterbacks in the ACC. But so has Chandler Morris, so this should be a great battle. Also a great coaching matchup as well.
Yeah, and, you know, UVA, this is – they had the opportunity last week against Virginia Tech. They cashed in on it. I don't know of anybody that really thought that the outcome of that was going to be any different than it was. And you know that players, you know, whether they've been in this program for a year, 4 years, 10 years, you know, whether the staff has been around for a month or whether they've spent their whole lives in Charlottesville, you get a sense of, you know, how big this is, not just for the team, not just for the players, not just for Tony Elliott, but for the program, the entire institution, you know, the city of Charlottesville. They haven't had a lot of moments like this. And you know, if you follow the team, you just want to see him see it all the way through.
Lane, really appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Adam, thanks for having me. Have a great week, everybody.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We close out the show by highlighting the biggest sporting event of the night. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. You got two options. Tonight, you could turn on ESPN and hear the committee select the 12-team playoff bracket and the latest reveal of the playoff top 25. Or just tune into AWOD Radio tomorrow at 12:15 for Crosstalk as me and Michael Phillips continue to break it down punch by punch here of the 12-team college football playoffs. So what's it going to take for JMU to get in? Can they jump North Texas and Tulane with a win in their Sun Belt championship? And also, does a blowout victory matter? I think the committee is looking at that kind of stuff. I do think that Virginia blowing out Virginia Tech looked good for them. And so I do think margin of victory at this point of the year absolutely matters for the bracket and the selection. But that's the big story tonight in the sports world as we close the show by highlighting the biggest sports event of the night here with Game Day.
Every day on AWOD Radio is Game Day, home of the biggest sports fans in town at 910 The Fan. We'll spotlight the best sporting event of the day here on
Game Day. Yeah, right back and I'm here. I got the whole team in here now. It's feeling like Game Day in this Game Day. We are the underdogs of the year. We ranking number one on the list. We put in overtime, so we ready for overtime if the clock ever hits. Gang Day.
Dude, I'm so team Lane Kiffin on this whole situation that here's what I wouldn't mind if the committee did. If the committee said, you know what, Ole Miss, you think you're so good. You think you're in the same conversation as LSU that you can win without Lane Kiffin. Well, you know what? As a committee, we're going to punish you like we punished Florida State. I would love for the committee to hold Ole Miss out of the playoffs. Ugh. Hold them out!
That's tough.
Hold them out!
If it was a four team, I'd agree with you 100%.
You held out FSU for not having your quarterback. He took his entire offensive coaching staff with him.
The difference between that and this is we saw one game sample size with Florida State without their quarterback. And they won that game. Props to them. They didn't look like a top four team in the country in that game. There's going to be no sample size for Ole Miss without Lane Kiffin, so you can't just drop them after a win. It puts them in a really tough spot. I understand wanting to, but I don't think you can.
I want them to. If they're not going to do that, fine. Match Ole Miss with UVA. That's the game I want. Tony Elliott against a coachless team. Mm-hmm. Give me that. So the college football playoff bracket will be revealed tonight. JMU, will they be included?
I think they will. I think they're
no,
going...
No, come on now. You're just saying that.
No, I'm so serious. I really think what they're going to do with this penultimate ranking, the final, second to last one, is they're going to put everyone that has a shot at the playoffs on the board. They've been putting teams like SMU on, because what if SMU makes the makes the ACC title game? Then you have to give them a shot. That's what they're going to do in this ranking. They're going to put the three group of five teams, 23, 24, 25, whatever order they want. JMU will be in that bottom three.
If Duke wins the ACC title game, does that set up for JMU and a North Texas to get in, or is that set up for JMU and Miami to get in?
So Miami's not getting in unless they get in at large, because they're not getting any kind of auto bid. That's a tough spot. I think what they could do, maybe conspiracy theory, so the ACC is not left out, push Notre Dame out, put Miami in, and then get the two group of five schools.
That's what I've been saying, because I just believe that when it's all said and done, right? Like, this is the last one before the title games, then there'll be the final reveal. On this one, they'll probably still have Notre Dame in. After the next one, if it comes down to one team has to be left out, and Miami is there at 12, and Notre Dame is there at 9, they are in the same group, that I think you have to consider the head-to-head, and you take out Notre Dame.
Here's the issue, though. Neither of those two teams play this week. If you're going to make the move, it has to be tonight.
See, I think they're not going to do that, because they're hoping that UVA wins, and then you don't get that situation. That's why I think they wouldn't do that. And that's also why, when they reveal the 12 today, they're going to put Tulane or North Texas in over JMU.
Yeah,
right?
they're going to keep Tulane. Tulane still hasn't lost, so there's no reason to take them out. And then it would be, I think, the order, bottom three, 23 Tulane, 24 JMU, 25 North Texas. So that's where the winner of the American Championship matters.
Yeah. Paul Feinbaum had this take on Get Up ESPN about Alabama, who will be playing in the SEC title game against Georgia. Now, they already have a win over Georgia this season, and I think everyone's saying, if Alabama wins, they're definitely going to be a top four team. If they lose, is there a chance they're eliminated? I don't think you can do that. Let's take a listen.
They have to ignore it. Otherwise, Greeny, they blow up the entire conference championship weekend. What is the point of all this? And I realize there's a lot of money to be made for everyone, including the network that we currently work for. But it would be a travesty to penalize a team for advancing to that point against a team you've already beaten on their home field. It's hard to say you're going to make a bigger mockery of college football than we've already made over the last couple of days, but it would.
Who gets in if BYU beats Texas Tech?
Both of them. Both of them get in. You cannot take out Texas Tech right now. Texas Tech, too good of a football team. I think they'll be the fourth team right now.
So look, Indiana's a lock, right?
Yes.
That is, give me a ding. That's one right there. Indiana's a lock. Ohio State is a lock. Ole Miss. As much as I just made my bit about how they screwed up with Lane Kiffin, they should let him finish the job. Finish the fight. Try to win a championship. Looking back, you're not going to care who is the coach. You want the glory, Ole Miss. You messed this one up. You botched it, but you're locked in. Oregon is locked in. Georgia, even with a loss, is locked in. Oklahoma will not play again. They're locked in. A&M will not play again. They're locked in. That's seven locks right there. That's
Did you say
seven
Ohio
locks.
State, too?
I said Ohio State,
there
yes.
There you go.
All right? I don't consider Texas Tech a lock, because if BYU beats them, then you have got to figure out, are you going to hold out Notre Dame, Alabama, or Texas Tech?
If it comes to it, I am taking Texas Tech over Alabama every single time. The resume is much better. They don't have a loss to Florida State.
All right, but if Alabama beats Georgia, they're not in that conversation anymore.
That's right.
And would you take Texas Tech over a Georgia team that lost again to Alabama? No. No. So then Alabama would become the eighth team in then. UVA, let's say they're the ninth team in. All right. A G5 team is the 10th team in. you might have to hold out Texas Tech for BYU taking that spot from them. There is a chance the Big 12 only gets one. If the ACC only gets one, there's a chance the Big 12 only gets one.
The only way the Big 12 only gets one is if Texas Tech wins. It's the same thing with Alabama, the same logic. You can't punish a team for losing the conference championship game.
So then would you take out Notre Dame for a two-loss Texas Tech team? Then?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't think the committee has the marbles to take out a program with a fan base as big as Notre Dame. That's my opinion on that. I think brands matter. That's why Alabama, Paul Feinbaum just said, they could lose to Georgia. They're still going to get in. Brands matter in the college football playoffs. I don't know why you have a committee when it's all about brands, but that's what they're doing. I'll be watching tonight to the latest reveal at 7 o'clock. Grant Danny coming up next here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.